Hi friends, Pastor Doug Batchelor with Amazing Facts. I'd like to share something that I'm sure will seem controversial to some. It's 7 points why I believe the Asbury Revival was not a biblical revival. Now, I haven't commented on this up to this point, at least not in a public format like this, because, well, there's an old saying, a tree is best measured when it's down. And now that the Asbury Revival has sort of diffused and evaporated, it's a good time to evaluate, according to the Bible, was this a real biblical revival? And as I mentioned, I've got 7 points where I don't think it was. Now, that doesn't mean that the Holy Spirit wasn't moving. I think it might be a misnomer. Was it a prayer meeting? It certainly was a prayer meeting, but not a biblical revival. And for those who may not know, what happened is in February 8th, on the Asbury University campus, they had completed a Bible study, and a number of students stayed behind to worship and to pray, and that number continued to grow, and it went 24 hours a day, and it went wild and viral on social media, garnering well over 100 million views on TikTok and various sites, so that it became sort of a internet phenomenon, everyone talking about the Asbury Revival, the revival, the revival, and people were coming in from other countries, not only that, but of course across North America, because they wanted to experience this. There's so many people want revival, and they thought, well, it's happening here, let's go. But was it a revival? Now, you've got to be very careful, according to the Word of God, not to attribute to something other than God, the working of the Spirit. You don't want to be calling the work of the Holy Spirit the work of the devil. You can be on the borders of grieving away the Holy Spirit when you do that. They sometimes told Christ that he was casting out devils by the prince of devils, and Jesus warned them, do not blaspheme against the Holy Spirit. So we don't want to do that. We don't want to say that God was not in it in some way, but I don't think it met the criteria of a biblical revival. How do we know? 1 John 4:1 says, Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out there in the world. And we know that the devil is a master of counterfeit. Jesus warns us in the last days in Matthew 24 that the deceptions are going to be so real and so vivid that if it were possible, even the very elect would be deceived. So we need to measure these things based on the scripture. All right, 7 points why I don't think the Asbury event was a biblical revival. Number one, the absence of the proclamation of the word calling sinners to repent. All the revivals I see in the Bible, including Pentecost, Peter in Acts chapter 2, he gets done preaching a powerful sermon, and then they respond, Men and brethren, what shall we do? He says, Repent and be baptized, and there's a great baptism and a great revival. Nobody can ever match the revival of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. God poured out his spirit. There were signs and wonders and miracles. People were turning from their sins. They were repenting. They were confessing. But all of that is always bathed in the exalting and the proclamation of the Word of God. And while what happened in Asbury did start with a Bible study on Romans 12, I believe, it sort of stopped there and it turned into a prayer meeting and a worship service with a lot of singing. And I don't think that met the biblical criteria. Here's a quote from Billy Graham on the subject of revival. After a signally successful meeting, Billy Graham was asked, Is this a revival? Graham responded, No. When revival comes, I expect to see two things which we have not seen yet. First, a new sense of the holiness of God on the part of Christians, and second, a new sense of the sinfulness of sin on the part of Christians. Paul said that in a revival, sin will be made to appear exceedingly sinful. And the disciples, John, Jesus, Peter, they called people to repent of their sins and to turn. Point number two, the fruit of revival will be a harvest of new souls coming into the faith through baptism. After Peter preached at Pentecost and the Holy Spirit was poured out, this great revival, it resulted in thousands being baptized. And it went from 3,000, it spread through Jerusalem, and later there are 5,000 that are baptized. And the disciples went everywhere. Jesus said, go teach. Teach what? The word. Teaching them to obey what I've commanded you, baptizing them. And so teaching the law of God, teaching the word of God, baptizing those who make these commitments and repent of their sins, that's a revival. We didn't see I didn't see any evidence, there may have been, of people repenting of their sins and being baptized. Point number three, specific sins are identified and forsaken in revivals. Evangelist Sam Jones used to have revivals and he called them quitting meetings because he would call on the people to quit their drinking and quit their swearing and quit their smoking and their drugs. And one sister came to the meeting and she says, I haven't been doing anything, so I'm going to quit doing nothing and get involved. But there are meetings where tangible changes are made. You read in Acts 19 about this great revival in Ephesus. And it says, many of those who had practiced magic brought their books together and burned them in the sight of all. And they counted up the value of them, and it was totaled 50,000 pieces of silver. There's a great turning away of sin. People are publicly confessing their sins and turning from their sins. And I didn't really see anybody on the campus stand up and say, I am going to forsake my homosexual lifestyle. I'm going to throw away my vaping tools. I'm going to stop drinking. I'm going to stop using God's name in vain. We're going to stop watching worldly entertainment. You didn't hear anything real specific. When Jesus talked to the woman at the well and she wanted to experience God, he said, go call your husband. He got real specific with her. He didn't just talk about loving the Lord. He put his finger on something specific. Revivals usually deal with specifics. When evangelists like Billy Sunday would go through a town, the bars would close. Marriages were restored. There was a profound, tangible difference. Same thing with George Whitefield. When they do these revivals, the saloons would close. And I just didn't hear any testimonies of this kind of revival in the area there in Kentucky. I saw a revival on a campus once where the evangelist got a 55-gallon drum, cut the lid out, and said, we want you to throw your video games, your worldly music, your pornographic magazines, throw them in the drum and we're going to set it on fire. And the kids came and they brought those things and weeping, they turned from their sins. That's a revival when that happens. When you see it's being endorsed by theologians that are unscriptural and that contradict the Bible, that I think makes it all questionable. Who are the associates and the fellows? And there's a lot of folks in the Christian rock world, and you know, you got Christian preachers covered with jewels and tattoos and piercing that are saying, isn't this a wonderful revival? And I think those are strange bedfellows to have endorsing this kind of revival. So you look at that, and you know, there was video, you've got women pastors that are speaking in tongues and supposedly casting out devils. And friends, I'm just telling you, I came from a life, I used to attend charismatic churches before I came to my church. And I experienced all that and I saw all of that. And it often was just a show and a lot of demonstration. Point number five in a real revival, a true revival spreads from its place and it does not implode on itself. It's not like one location is the focus, but it flows out like an artesian well. Spurgeon said, revival begins by Christians getting right, and then it spills over into the world. It flows out. Everybody was sort of going in to this place, and once they closed down the meeting at this particular place, it seems like the revival, I think they had some smatterings of places they tried to replicate it, but it, for the most part, looks like it evaporated. In Acts chapter 8, verse 4 and 5, it says, therefore those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word. And Philip went down to the city of Samaria, and he preached Christ. When the Holy Spirit was poured out in Jerusalem, they went out, and they shared the gospel with others. Point number six, the main emphasis seems to be on feeling and emotion, as opposed to faith and tangible transformation. People often came, and you see one testimony after another of people that walked into the room in the auditorium or even on the campus outside, and they said, oh, I just feel the presence of God, and it's such a wonderful feeling, and people are weeping, and that's all fine and good. Nothing wrong with having feeling, and real revivals may have feelings, but that won't be the central focus. The focus is going to be on the power and the transforming spirit that turns lives around, where you're going to see tangible differences. People are born again. Old things are forsaken. All things are made new. This is what you're going to have. It's not just going to be, wasn't it wonderful? I'll never forget the feelings that we had. And you look at the different testimonies and the videos that you see online, and there's a lot of the what we used to call the ooh la la 7-Eleven music, and that's because they sing the same seven words 11 times, and they sound kind of like love songs that have a few Jesus words thrown in. And nothing wrong with singing a new song, but a lot of these Hillsong, Bethel songs they're just very emotion-based. And I don't know that that's always going to be associated with the real biblical revival and some of the mighty hymns of Reformation. Point number seven, it seems like there is a strange absence of satanic resistance. When a real revival is happening, there's often persecution and resistance. The media all seem to just be thrilled to report on this. You didn't see a lot of resistance or opposition. The Bible tells us that when they were preaching real revival, there would be resistance. Paul had that great revival in Ephesus we just talked about. And then it says in Acts chapter 19, verse 28, there was a riot in the city, and Paul had to actually leave town because of the persecution that arose. And Jesus said, when you go preaching, when you're persecuted in this city, go into the next. The devil has great wrath when his territory is invaded. And you just didn't seem to see that. Jesus said, you'll be hated of all nations for my name's sake. It just seemed like everybody, it was kind of the, as they say, kumbaya experience. All get together in a wonderful spirit and folks loving each other. Spurgeon once was talking to his sons. They came back from a revival. He said, did you have a revival? They said, yes. He said, were many converted? Spurgeon asked. They said, well, not many. Was there a riot? Did people get angry? No, everyone got along fine. Spurgeon said, well, if there weren't many conversions and if people did not get angry, you probably didn't have a revival. Because where God is working, the devil is going to be infuriated and he's going to be stirred up. Just look what happened to the apostles. Look at what happened to Jesus in the scriptures. Now, friends, I don't want to discourage you. What I want is I want people to have real revival. And I think a real revival does not require thousands of people gathering in one place. A real revival can break out in a home with one person. It's like the evangelist Gypsy Smith used to say, if you want to experience real revival, then get your piece of chalk, go home, draw that circle on the floor, kneel in the circle, and say, Lord, convict me of what my sins are. Repent of your sins. Make a covenant to the Lord to turn from your sins. If you have cigarettes, throw them away, or drugs, or if you're engaged in pornography, whatever you need to do to experience a transformation, to turn from your sins, that's what repentance is. You make room in your heart for the outpouring of the Spirit, and that's when the church is going to see revival. Friends, I hope we're praying for revival in our lives and in the church and in the world. I believe we need it before Jesus comes. If you're blessed by programs like this and videos like this, I'd encourage you to subscribe, click like, and share this with your friends. Thank you. God bless.